And now we're going to talk with Dakota Political Junkies. Joining me on the phone now are Roger Whittle and John Hunter. Roger is managing editor at the Watertown Public Opinion, and John Hunter is publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Thank you both for taking time and coming on the program today.
Thanks, Kara. My pleasure.
So let's see, where should we start? Let's start with the strength of Thune and Nome in South Dakota. John, well, you want to go first?
Sure.
Or Roger?
The John Thune victory over Jay Williams was certainly, you know, is almost as big a margin as is possible, 72-28. They both ran an honest campaign. It was all above board and so on, but John Thune holds all the cards here. I mean, he's extremely popular. He's has very high approval ratings. He's the incumbent. He has money, which he really didn't need to use. He's Republican in a Republican state. He's an engaging speaker and campaigner. So, you know, Jay Williams, you know, kind of had zero name recognition at the beginning, and so it was kind of destined to be this kind of blowout. I look back and I saw only one election in the last 50 or 60 years that had that big a margin, and so it was kind of inevitable from the beginning.
Paula Hawks had almost 40% of the vote. What do you think? What do you think that says here in South Dakota?
Well, I think you can say the same things about Kristi Noem that John said about John Thune. Mm-hmm. She's very popular. She's an incumbent. She has raised a lot of money, and Paula Hawks had some advantages over Jay Williams in that she was a state lawmaker. She had some name recognition, and she actually had some issues that she was trying to hit Kristi Noem on. For one, she kept pounding away that we lost our voice on the House Agriculture Committee, which of course resonates with a lot of agriculture interests in town, in the state. So, you know, for her to come that close, and I put that close in parentheses because 60-40 isn't really that close, she did a good job in that campaign, and I think it just shows that she was up against you know, a difficult force in her campaign. I think the really interesting thing is the fact that both of these incumbents attached themselves to Donald Trump at a time when a lot of people were thinking that that might hurt them. And as it turned out, it of course did not hurt them. Trump easily carried the state, and you could almost say that these two rode his coattails to the win.
And John, do you see Paula Hawks as kind of the future of the Democratic Party in South Dakota?
She certainly portrayed that her role very well here. I thought she campaigned well. She's articulate. She's appears to be knowledgeable about the issue. So I think she probably does have a future in South Dakota politics and the Democratic Party. I don't know what a next step would be for her, but certainly, I think she presented herself very well and would have no baggage from this campaign that would carry over.
And so Nome stood with President-elect Trump throughout the campaign. Thune did not. Is that going to help or hurt in their future in Washington?
Well, I think it's possible that, you know, that it could hurt that by not doing that. It appears as though President-elect Trump is one who remembers snubs. you know, he certainly was in his concessions or in his acceptance speech last night, talked about trying to engage those who opposed him and listen and those kinds of things. So that would fare well for that. But we're gonna see, I think, in coming months, especially after January 20th, how those play out.
You know, we really didn't hear a lot during the presidential campaign about agriculture in South Dakota. And where do you think, and what kind of leadership do you think Thune and Rounds and Noem are going to take to a candidate who didn't really, or a president-elect that didn't really talk about agriculture, and that's such an important part of our state.
Well, I think it's up to those two to actually to bring it to his attention a little bit, if you will. There's almost a crisis in agriculture these days with their low prices, and and family farms and farmers in general and ranchers are hurting, and something has to change on a policy level, and I think that you'll probably see something happen this year or this next term with agriculture, because things certainly can't keep happening the way they are happening. And I think that we have two good people in Nome and Thune to see those changes through.
And just quickly, both of you, your initial reaction overnight or as you woke up this morning with who won the presidential race?
Well, personally, I knew when I went to bed what had happened. I was at our county courthouse while they were counting ballots here. So, at one time I didn't think it would happen, probably a month ago. But as the last month of the campaign came to an end, I thought, gosh, this could really happen, and it did, and it happened in a surprising way. So I think it's going to be an interesting 4 years. I can hardly wait for it to start.
Okay, John?
I find the state legislative races pretty interesting, and I know you have that on the next segment. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, was kind of interesting to watch tonight. There are still a couple of races that could have recounts in them. It wouldn't affect the balance, of course, of power, which is by far dominated by the Republicans. But I think the next segment will address some of those interesting legislative races.
Okay, and we are going to transition over to that conversation, but I want to take the time, and it's going to get fun here in the next few months, and so your position as a political junkie here is secure, for sure.
Good news. We'll be ready.
So thank you, Roger Whittle, managing editor at the Watertown Public Opinion, and John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Carol.